I'd like to read a verse in Isaiah, a well-known verse, in chapter 32. Chapter 32 of Isaiah. It's page 869. And verse 2 of that chapter. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the storm, as brooks of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a thirsty land. That's all I want to read. Who could this be? Someone who can be a hiding place from the wind, who can be a shelter from the storm. And when conditions are dry, can be refreshing waters, and in the thirsty land can be a great rock. This could only be one person, couldn't it? Many great men and women have traveled through history, but they don't answer to this verse. Only one man. Who is that man? The man Christ Jesus. That one and no other. That's the man who's central to the gospel message. I particularly want to speak of the Lord Jesus tonight as a hiding place. You know, when Adam and Eve committed that first act of disobedience, amongst other things, what did they do? They decided they would hide. Just like us all. Not just children that do something wrong and they say, well, hope the parents don't hear about that or see it. But old folks are the same. We think, well, I hope somebody doesn't hear about that or see it. An attempt to hide something. Well, that was Adam and Eve. They went and they hid themselves. Who did they hide from? They thought they could hide from God. And that's one person that none of us can hide from. I may be able to hide something from you or you from me, but you cannot hide from God. First thing they did was they covered themselves up. They discovered when they had sinned that they needed to cover themselves up. And then they decided they better hide themselves from God. God came down and he made one remark, "Where art thou?" And they must answer it. So they covered themselves up, they hid themselves. And in a sense, worse than that, when God asked them a question, Adam made a terrible excuse, blamed his wife for the whole thing. So they had an inadequate covering, they had an inadequate hiding place, and they had an inadequate excuse. And you know, before God, not one of us can think up an excuse that will cause God to bear with us in our sins. In fact, the Roman epistle says, "Therefore, O man, thou art inexcusable." And every one of us before God are found to be inexcusable, just like Adam and Eve. So as I said, you cannot hide from God. The psalmist goes over the whole idea of hiding from God. And he says, well, where can I flee from his presence? If I go up to the heavens, ascend up to the heavens, thou art there. If I descend to Sheol, thou art there. If I go to the uttermost parts of the seas, thou art there. Next thing he says is, but if I get darkness to cover me, surely God won't see me there. He says, God still sees me there. Whether it's night, whether it's day, we are laid bare before God, and we cannot escape his all-searching eye. Now I'm sure in all our experiences, we've tried to hide something we've done, tried to cover it up so that nobody sees, but God sees. And when he sees, he requires an answer as to what we've done. And of course, he looks out in man, and what does he find? He finds that man has disobeyed him. Like Adam of old, man is a sinner. And so these sins must be given account for. Because the all-seeing God, the righteous, the holy God, demands an answer as to sin and sins. Can you answer God as far as his sins was concerned? That hymn we sung, not the labor of our hands. Whatever we worked at, that wouldn't meet God's eye righteously. We might do whatever we could, and at the end of the day, we're still sinners before God. Very solemn. Nothing that we can do can remove these sins from before God. Yet, the psalmist, at another stage, he says to God, thou art a hiding place for me. Thou preservest me from trouble, thou dost surround me with songs of deliverance. He's found an answer before God to his sinful state. He's found a hiding place. And dear friend, tonight there's only one hiding place that satisfies God. What is that hiding place? The man that we've read of in Isaiah 32:2. That man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, covered from the storm. Eventually, you see, these sins must be given account for. And these sins call forth the judgment of God. The scripture tells me in the Old Testament, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So I face death as a sinner, and therefore I face the judgment of God. The old translation used to say, it's appointed unto man once to die. You think of that. Each one of us here in this room, young and old, must keep that appointment. It's an appointment that we don't make ourselves, but it's an appointment that we will keep. And then it says, and after death, the judgment. Very solemn. So, is there any way around this? Well, that's where the gospel comes in. That God has provided a hiding place for his creature. A hiding place for the sinner. A hiding place for you and I. And when you find this hiding place, when you find Christ as your Savior, and you discover that in him and in his work, all your sins can be removed, you discover that he's a hiding place for time, but he's also a hiding place for eternity. And in him, as you shelter in him and prove the preciousness and the safety of that hiding place, so you're safe, not only for time, but for all eternity. I think that's lovely. And that is the offer that God makes in the gospel to the youngest and to the oldest. The same offer that by trusting the Lord Jesus, you can find in him a place where you can hide, not just cover up your sins, you can discover that in Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross, your sins can be have gone and gone completely, and you can come into the blessing of that as you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, there's many storms in life. It speaks of, he shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a cover from the storm. We may set off in life thinking, well, life's going to be very smooth and it's all going to be plain sailing. And then the storms come. Just imagine you're a ship out there in the sea and you're making for harbour and a storm gets up. And that's bad enough. But the storm gets so bad that sometimes they close Aberdeen Harbour. No one gets out, no one gets in. But I can tell you, in the day of God's grace, the harbour of heaven is open all the time. It's open tonight. And if you're a sinner in your sins, you can flee to that harbour and find that it's never closed. In Christ, there is an opportunity to find a way into blessing, no matter how bad the storm is. As many storms overcome us, come upon us in life, storms that affect us individually, and the storms and the winds that affect you may be different from me, and you begin to worry. There's mental storms. You have cares. You think nobody else knows about these cares. You have worries. Worry about this and worry about the next thing, you know. And what's the answer to it? Where do you find hiding place? Where can you be sheltered from all these things that come into your life? Christ is available. When he was here with his disciples, he took on their worries. He took on their cares. And he brought them into rest, into peace. And he can do that tonight. Come unto me, he says, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, and ye shall find rest to your souls. What a shelter, what a hiding place Christ is. But then, there's the more public side of winds that come upon a soul. The wind of sorrow. Bereavement. You know, someone that you know has died. And that really comes home to you. Because it could have been you or it could have been me. And where's the hiding place? The hiding place again is in Christ. But the greatest wind of all, the wind that blows because you and I are sinners before God, and that wind is blowing us ever closer and closer to the judgment of God. Who's going to stand between me, between the sinner and that storm? The Lord Jesus has stood there. He's taken on the storm. The awful tempest one of our hymns speaks of, it fell on one man, fell on Jesus. Think of this. Blessed one who is the theme of the gospel, came into this world, yes, to demonstrate his touch of healing, touch of grace towards mankind, taking the children in his arms, healing persons who were sick, and so on. But he came into this world to die for you, to die for me. Makes it very personal, isn't it? That someone, the great God himself, should come in human form in order to rescue you and I from our plight, from our peril, from our sins, and draw us into blessing that takes us clear of the trouble of our sins and brings us into peace with God. But what did it involve for the Lord Jesus? It involved that not only had to be here living a perfect life before men, but he had to die. He had to lay down that life. You think of someone coming and dying for you, for me. You know, that's real. Hey, if you were in a desperate situation and somebody stood between you and death, that would be tremendous. But think of God, the God who made the heavens, the God who made the earth, and the whole creatorial greatness of God. Think of that person coming into a condition in which he would lay down his life as man in order to save the sinner. To save the sinner, one of our hymns says, Jesus came to set the captive free. And now my willing soul exclaims what he has done for me. Can you stand up tonight, dear friend, and tell us what the Lord Jesus has done for you? Can I stand and say what he's done for me? What did it involve for him? It involved that he went to Calvary's cross, submitted to the man's judgment, to the handling by men, and these 12 hours, these 24 hours, the last 24 hours of the Lord's life here. What pressure, what suffering men put upon him, and he bore it all. But that didn't remove your sins. That didn't open up a way for the removal of sins. At the end of it all, he laid himself as an offering for sin and faced God's anger, righteous anger against sin. Unsparing judgment. He bore it alone in that dark hour. Why? Because he loved you, dear friend. Because he loved me. And he wanted to provide a safe hiding place for you and me. A hiding place from God's judgment on sin. God hasn't changed. What he said in the Bible about sin, what he said about his judgment, still stands, and it will be executed in the coming day. That coming day may be soon, or it may be well off. But friend, tonight, you have an opportunity to escape that judgment by finding Christ as your hiding place. Not a general hiding place, but your hiding place. You say, well, can he cope with everyone? Can he cope with all who want to flee to him? He can cope with all, friend. He's the hiding place, shall be as a hiding place from the wind. I just thought about that, you know. The winds that blow across each of us here, whether it's the wind that drives home to us what we are as sinners, or whether it's just the winds of this life, there's a man available to take that storm on and to bear it as far as our sins are concerned, to bear it alone himself, and he's done that at the cross of Calvary. But just the general sorrows and the general cares of this life, he can share the weight of these things by standing alongside you and helping you through the storm. What a Savior he is. Been well described as the all-the-way-home Savior. The one who died, the one who suffered and died, the one who went into death, the one who rose again, the one who's exalted to God's right hand, the one who's coming again. That's the Savior I know. And that's the one I commend to you tonight. This is such a lovely verse, a hiding place from the wind and covered from the storm. Some of us in life have seen actual storms, and they can be quite ferocious, and you can be in circumstances where they feel even worse. If you're a sailor on the sea or on the mountains, even in our own country here, caught in some of these storms, they can be extremely dangerous. But friend, the greatest storm is the storm that's coming on this world, the storm of God's judgment. It's coming for you if you're still in your sins. But you can avoid that by finding the hiding place, by finding Christ. I present him in all his wondrous beauty and all the wonder of what he's done at Calvary's cross and that work that no one else could do. And just think of it tonight. He suffered, he bled at Calvary, and he did it all for you. Yes, he did it for all who've trusted in him. But tonight, I just want you to think of it has all been done for you. Will you accept him tonight? Will you come and say, yes, I'm a sinner. I need a savior. I need a hiding place. I need shelter from the storm that's coming. He's available tonight. And then as believers on the Lord Jesus, he's still available, you know. The Apostle Paul says to the Colossian saints, you know, you have died with Christ and your life is where? It's hid with Christ and God. Where is he? He's exalted to the right hand of God. And the believer now has a center of interest up there because Christ is there. The same Savior who died at Calvary's cross and rose again, he's up there seated at God's right hand. And your interests now, as having trusted him, are centered in Christ where he is. For not only has he come here to bear the storm of judgment against sin, but he lives in heaven to be an occupation for the believer here to discover that the things of this earth have faded away. The apostle says in that scripture, have your mind on the things above where the Christ is, and where he is what draws the believer's attention more and more. Why? Because the soul that has trusted in the Lord Jesus is eventually going to be there with Christ himself. Well, a covert from the storm, brooks of water in a dry place, shadow of a great rock, thirsty land. I don't suppose we know too much about thirsty lands, but there will be parts of the world that are parched. Persons know the thirst in them and think of being resting, nestling under the shadow of Christ as the rock. The same rock that was smitten at Calvary's cross, that rock you can find shelter in, you can find peace in, you can enjoy his presence. Well, these are my simple thoughts. May God bless them for his name's sake. Amen.